The message today is taking God at His Word. I'll quote one passage to you, read two passages, and then bring others to your attention as we proceed. John 4, starting at verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father. Here our Savior says, Woman, believe me. In Mark 11, our Savior says, Believe God. He says, Have faith in God. Now, turn to John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for this book from which we've read. Thou dost know how many years we went without it, and thou dost know the many years once we found it, it has been with us. We rejoice. Our Father, the great sorrows that were ours before this book came into our life, and now the great joys that are ours, since this book has come into our life. We pray that we shall read it and ponder it and claim to ourselves the exceeding great and precious promises that are therein. Father, we have read two things that thy Son said. We pray, our God, that we shall comprehend them, that we shall be obedient to them. So, take these simple truths this day. Will to our hearts. Let us learn to take you at your word. Our Father, thou knowest our hearts. We know what they were before you saved us. And even after you saved us, your Son described us this way. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. And so, Father, even though we are redeemed, we are aware that there is still in us the remnants of Adam, and they shall never be gone until your Son comes from heaven. So because of that, by thy Spirit, work in our hearts and help us to understand, and empower lips that are feeble but are powerful as thy Spirit empowers, and forgive our sins because we confess them. You promise to be faithful and just to forgive. And give us a profitable, enjoyable time today, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taking God at His Word. It seems like this should be the easiest thing possible for anybody to do. If someone came to you and said, Can you trust God? Can you believe what He says? You would laugh at him. You would say, Why, of course you can. I wonder if you've taken him at his word. It seems as if it should be the easiest thing to do, but it seems to be the hardest thing to do for this reason, because of the thing that he says to us when he speaks to us. Let me give you an example. I told you last week that Peter had fished all night long and had caught nothing. And the Savior said to him, Put out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Now, the Lord Jesus said it. It seems as if it's the easiest thing in the world to believe. But Peter says, Lord, we toiled all night and took nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down for a draught. You see? In Matthew 16, the Savior said, I have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified.
Peter didn't believe it.
Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never be unto thee. Now, think for a moment. How can this be? The Savior makes a statement, and Peter says, this shall never be. Matthew 24. The disciples are looking at the building of the magnificent temple in which the Jews worship, and they told the Savior about all the stones. And the Savior said to them, you see these stones? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be cast down. Now, is it easy to take God at His word? You say, no. It's hard to take God at His word. The truth of the matter is, the things that God says in His word are hard to comprehend, but it should not be hard to take God at His word. Last week, I spoke to you about a subject similar to this, the God of no surprises. This week, it's the other side, not the God of no surprises, but taking God at His word. But the hardest thing to do for Christians is to take God at His word. Now, this is an example of taking God at His word. The Lord comes to Noah, and He says, there is going to be a flood. Build an ark. And Noah starts building an ark when there may have never fallen a drop of rain on the earth. But God said to him, there is going to be a flood, build an ark. Now, if you take God at His word, and God says there's going to be a flood, the only place of security is an ark. And God says, build an ark. And so it says that Noah moved with fear. He built an ark to the saving of his house. So think now. Whereas, in one sense, you think of God as being true, He cannot lie. And in that sense, it should be the easiest thing in the world to take God at His word. But it seems as if God is always telling us things that are impossible. They are impossible, as the Savior says. With men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. For that reason, when God makes a statement, we should take Him at His word. If it has never rained, and He says it's going to be a flood, we should start building an ark. And at the same time, if God sends a message to us through Gabriel and says to Zacharias, now, the prayer that you've been praying, you said you wanted a child. You and Elizabeth are going to have a child. If you believe God, you will start building a cradle to rock that baby in. But instead, Zechariah said, how shall this thing be? I'm an old man. My wife, we are well stricken in years. Now, isn't this remarkable? You are praying to a God who holds heaven and earth in place, and you ask Him to do something that is impossible among men, but you're asking God, and with God all things are possible, and yet when God says, all right, I'm going to do it, you say, how can this be? Now, what's the simplest thing to do? To take God at His word? You say, it seems to be the hardest thing to do, because God is always telling us things that are impossible with men. And that's why He tells us those things, because they're impossible. If man tells us something, we believe it, because we know that man can do things that are possible. If a man says, look, I'm going to build you a house, I say, fine. If a man says, look, I'm going to send you on a vacation, you say, fine. But if a man makes a promise as staggering as those that God makes, you just disregard him. You set aside all that he says. And so for that reason, it seems as if the hardest thing to do is to take God at His word. It should be the simplest thing to do. Why? Because all the instances that I've given you that seemed impossible, they turned out to be true. Like Paul said, why should it seem incredible to you? And now that we have learned of God's omnipotence and of God's faithfulness and of God's truthfulness, why should it be difficult to take God at His word? And yet, this is the statement that He makes concerning the visit of His Son to earth. Who hath believed our report? Isn't that remarkable? God sent His Son from heaven. God loved the world. He gave His Son to die for the world. And the Bible says, who hath believed our report? And that's the first message that came as Jesus was born. I bring you good tidings of great joy, for there is born unto you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Isn't that remarkable? That God tells us things, and they should be the easiest things to believe, but they're the hardest things to believe because they are impossible with men. And that's why God sent them, because this is God who is speaking. And at times, when He says them, we talk to Him as Peter did, Lord, I work all night, but I'll let down the net. And on other occasions, if you overhear what God says, as Sarah did, the angels are talking to Abraham, and they said, now, next season and this year, your wife Sarah is going to embrace a son. And she starts laughing. Isn't that remarkable? That God sends an angel to tell Abraham your wife is going to have a child, and she starts laughing. And God sends an angel and tells Zechariah she's going to have a son, and he says, how is this going to be? So you say it's easy to take God at His word. It's the hardest thing on earth to do, to take God at His word. And yet it should be easy for us. Let me ask you, when God told Noah it's going to rain, build an ark, did it rain? He said there had never been such a rain, and there has never been such a flood upon the earth since that flood of Noah. And God said He would never destroy the earth again by water. Well then, whereas it should seem incredible for God to say build an ark, Noah did, and God answered his faithfulness, and it rained. And He built that ark for the saving of His house. All right, let me ask you. Did Sarah, when the season came round, embrace a son named Isaac? Yes. You know what the word Isaac means? Laughter. She said, God has caused me to laugh. Tell me, when the time came for Elizabeth to have a child, did she have a child? You say, yes, she did. All right. Then, if God speaks a promise, if God foretells an event, whether we believe it or reject it, it still is going to come to pass. This is what Paul tells us in Romans 3. He says, what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of no effect the promise of God? God forbid. Here is the promise of God, but men say, I do not believe that. I do not have faith in the promise of God. Shall their want of faith make of no effect the promises of God? And the answer is no. The faithfulness of God? The answer is no. Whether man believes it or whether man rejects it, it makes absolutely no difference. God must be taken at His word, because if you do, you will act in one way as Noah did. You will build an ark and save your house, or you will refuse to believe God and act in a different way, and you will perish. So, when God makes the statement, we should believe it, because God can be taken at His word. Now, what I want to do is to bring to your attention some people in the Bible who took God at His word. Not everybody rejects God's word. Some people take God at His word. And I'm going to tell you in three categories, beings, because not all of them are men, beings that took God at His word. You'll find that angels take God at His word. You'll find that some men, take God at His word. And you will find that among men, there are church dignitaries, the highest ones in the church and in the religions of the world that take God at His word. All right, let's think for a moment about angelic beings that take God at His word. If I ask you, the holy angels, the good angels, do they take God at His word? You say, oh, of course they do. Well, tell me, what about Satan and the evil angels? Do they take God at His word? The answer is, yes, they certainly do. And that is the moral, that all angelic beings always take God at His word. I'll tell you about it. They so take God at His word that they are indignant when telling men the truthfulness of God, man refuses to take God at His word. I told you about that last week. Gabriel, and he's one of the seven angels who stand in the presence of God, he came and gave this message to Zechariah. And he knew that Zechariah did not believe what he told him. And he said, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. And because you haven't believed what I told you, he said, you're going to be void of speech, and you're going to be deaf as well until the day that has come to pass. And so finally, when the promise that Gabriel made to Zechariah did come to pass, then the speech and the hearing returned to Zechariah. Now, let me tell you something that is humorous. The first time that the promise was made to Zechariah, he doubted it. But the angel told him that his name was going to be called John. That didn't come up because he didn't even believe there was going to be the birth of a child. How shall this be? But when the birth of the child did take place and they were going to give the child a name, Elizabeth said, his name shall be called John. But the kinfolk said, nobody in your family is named John. We're not going to give him the name John. And Zacharias groped for something to write with and wrote down, his name is John. Why? Because he had learned to take God at his word and to do what God told him after he had been stricken because of disobedience to God. And that's what happens now. God says, this is going to happen, and this is what you are to name your child. Well, my God. So he failed in the first instance. When it came to the second, he said, call him John. I don't care what my name is. We're going to call him John. Therefore, when angels speak of God, they take God at his word. Think now. God says, I want you to go to earth, and I want you to tell a priest named Zechariah that he's going to have a son. Gabriel never doubts it. Yes, my God. Comes to earth, and he tells Zechariah the message that he has from God. And if he believes God, he expects Zechariah to believe God. And he's indignant when he doesn't believe God. Now, when he goes and speaks to Mary, these are the words that he speaks. He says to Mary, behold, thy kinswoman Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and it is now 6 months with her that was called barren. You see, she was barren, and that was her name. Her name was barren. But now she's conceived a son, and he said, for no word from God shall be void of power. Gabriel had a message from God, and that message that came from God, he took God at his word, and he expected Zechariah to take God at his word. And I rejoice to say that Elizabeth did take God at his word, but not later. But understand that the angel, the good angel said the first time, he said, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, for there is born unto you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ our Lord. He said, now go, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, That was true. That was when Christ was born. That was the first message after he was born. Before he was born, the message is that Jesus is going to be born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. They said, you're going to call your son John, and you're going to call your son Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. So, the holy angels, the good angels, whenever God makes a statement, they take God at his word, and it's this. Suppose one of you sent me with a message to a friend and said, go tell my friend this. If I heard what you said, I may not want to take that message to your friend. And when I took it, I might say this. Look, John Jones sends this message to you. Now, I'm telling you the message. I'm not telling you. He told me to tell you this message. Why would I speak that way? Because I do not believe that the message that he sent you is true, that it's possible for it to come to pass. But whenever an angel receives a message from God, he believes it fully. Immediately he comes to earth and he speaks that message to man, and he expects man to believe it as well. He expects God to be taken at his word. He took God at his word, and he said, I expect you to take God at his word. These are the good angels. No word from God shall be void of power. All right, the good angels. Now, I told you the bad angels always take God at his word. I challenge you. I'll give you a reward if you can ever show me in the Bible an evil spirit, an evil angel that tells a lie or tells us anything incorrect about the person of Christ. You say, but they're liars. I challenge you to show me anything they ever said wrong about Jesus or the person of Christ. You say, that's remarkable. It is. Do you realize that the theology of demons, I want to give a message on it sometime, that the theology of demons is the most conservative and accurate that can possibly be found? You say, that's unbelievable. All right. I'm going to show you. I told you that good angels took God at his word. I'm going to show you that evil angels do as well. The Lord Jesus comes to the shore, and a demoniac meets our Savior. And when he does, he says, I know who you are. You are the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? Now, he said, Jesus is the Son of God. I did not tell you that they would question. Satan said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, I told you that any time you find the word that they speak, they always speak the word, the truth. They said, you are the Son of God. They said, you are the Holy One of God. Is that true or false? You say, that's the same thing that I told. I see. And you know what else they said? They said, are you come to torment us before the time? God cast them down to pit. God cast them out of heaven. And he told them about the torment that awaited them in the future. And he told them when it was going to take place. And when they see Jesus come, they say, you are the Son of God, and have you come to torment us before the time? Notice, they know that when God said he was going to torment them, that when the time came, they were going to be tormented. And so they took God at his word. Evil spirits believe God. And evil spirits behave in a way as if they believe God. Understand? Man looks to heaven and he says, God is love. There is no hell. There is no torment. And the hellish beings say this, have you come to torment for the time? Isn't that remarkable? That these evil spirits believe in hell that man does not believe in. Because it says in Matthew 25, depart you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the devil and all his angels know that hell fire has been prepared for them. And they now know also that men are going to be cast into that hell fire as well. And therefore, evil angels as well as good angels take God at his word. And listen to what it says concerning Satan. In Revelation 12, it says, "Woe unto the earth and unto the sea, because the devil hath gone down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a little time." Oh, how does he know that? Because his God, when he sinned, cast him out of heaven and told him how much time he had. That is why. And these evil spirits, when Christ was on earth, and this is some 2,000 years later in Revelation 12 up to now, it says he knows he has only a little time. Notice, in the gospel, the evil spirits say, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" In other words, not "Are you going to torment us?" but "Have you come to torment us before the time?" On earth as well in that lake of fire. So, you will find that angels, good and bad, take God at his word. They take God at his word for the good things that God says. "Behold, I bring you glad tidings this day concerning Jesus, a Savior." They believe God when it comes to the good tidings, and they believe God when it comes to the cursings that he pronounces upon man. Now that is remarkable. If he says there is going to be torment for you who sin, the evil spirits believe it. If he says there is going to be a Savior born unto you, the good angels believe it, and Satan believes it, because immediately he sets out to destroy the Savior that God sends from heaven. Do you see? Here is the Savior. Why do you think that Herod is seeking to destroy those children 2 years old and under, that he might destroy that Savior that God has sent from heaven? He knows that God is sending, but he does everything in his power to destroy, to frustrate the workings and the pronouncements of God, and he's never been able to destroy one of them, one that God determined to come to pass. And so, angels, when God speaks a word, they know. This is what James says. "Do you believe that God is one, that there is one God? You do well." It says, "The demons believe and tremble." So demons are believers, you understand. Not believing, believing unto salvation, but they believe what God says. They believe that there is one God. They believe that there is a hell, and they know that when the time comes, they're going to be cast into hell because they disobey God. All right, now, let's think of man. Whereas the scripture says, "Who hath believed our report?" And whereas the scripture said, and we had it read this morning, "He came unto his own, but his own received him not, but as many as received him." You see? When it says his own received him not, it does not mean all of them did not receive him. And when it says, "Who hath believed our report?" it does not mean that no one believed the report, but it means only a relative few believed the report, because some did believe the report. And so let us rejoice in this, that when God makes a statement, when God reveals his character and his nature, there are some among men who believe. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you of a noble man who believed, and then I'm going to tell you about a military man who believed, and then a woman who believed. Here are men, and these are examples of those who have taken God at his word. In John chapter 4, this nobleman has a son that's sick unto death, and after a conversation with the Lord Jesus, the Savior finally said to him, he said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." It says, the nobleman believed the word that Christ had spoken and went his way. Praise God for such an action. He came and besought the Lord to heal his son. And the Savior said, "Go your way. Your son lived." It says, he went his way. He believed what the Savior said. He took God's son at his word. And that is to be our behavior, our response to every promise that God has given in his word. Now, this is what is so thrilling about the story. He went his way, believing what Jesus had said. And as he approached his home, his servant came to him and said, "Your son lives. The fever is gone." And he said, the time did he begin to amend? They said about the seventh hour, and the nobleman said, that's the time that Jesus said unto me, your son lives. And it says, he believed and all his house. Please notice, there is a belief in what God says he is going to do. And after he does it, there is the belief that God has done it. It originated with him. It was realized in him. And so you believe before it comes to pass, and after it comes to pass, you believe that God has done it. Now, isn't that simple? That's your life, isn't it? Everything God tells you, you believe it, you go your way, knowing that what God has promised you is coming to pass. Of course not. Why do you think that the Lord Jesus said, be not anxious what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on? Has the Lord Jesus said that you are more valued than sparrows, that God is going to clothe you, that God is going to take care of you? You say, yes. Well then, if as this noble man, if we believe Jesus, we would go our way knowing that what he had promised would come to pass. But when a man is filled with anxiety, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What's going to happen? What shall I put on? Then the man has not taken God at his word. You understand? The Lord Jesus did. Satan said, you are the Son of God. You had better turn these stones into bread. You're going to starve to death. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the one who took God at his word among men, most truly, was Jesus Christ, our Lord. He committed his soul in well-doing unto his Father, and the Father, when the time came, sent angels to minister unto him, to give him the food that he would not miraculously bring into being without the command of his Father. All right. So here is this noble man, and please notice that this noble man is among the nation to whom he came, and they received him not, who hath believed our report. Thank God, some believed his report. And because of that, what do you think would be the difference if you saw this nobleman walking toward his home after Jesus said, thy son lives? The nobleman believed what Jesus said. What do you think that you would see in his stride, in the appearance on his face, and then think of Cleopas and his companion in Luke 24 as they are walking to Emmaus? Look at this nobleman who believed God, who took him at his word, and then look at Cleopas and his companion, and could you see a difference? He said, why, of course, Cleopas and his companion, they were sorrowful, they were downcast, all hope was gone. But do you think it would show in the way they walked and talked? He said, of course it would. And do you think that that nobleman went home that same way? He said, of course not. He went with a look of anticipation, a look of assurance in his face. He wanted to go back home because he believed that Jesus said, your son lived. Now, what kind of look is on your face as you go through life? When Jesus makes a promise, if you take him at his word, you will go through the world with assurance and people will look upon you. And when others are filled with doubt, you are not filled with doubt. Why? Because you can take God at his word. So here is a nobleman that took God at his word. All right. I told you about a military man. Here is one who is a foreigner, an Italian, and an officer among a nation that has Israel in its power. And yet this centurion has compassion in his heart for his servant, and also he has an understanding of the Savior's power that the Israelites could not find in their heart. The Savior had looked for him. He hadn't found him. So, when the centurion had the Savior approach, we're going to put it in his lips in the census. He said, my servant is sick. He's at home grievously, troubled of the palsy. He said, I would like so much if he could be healed. And the Savior said, I will come down and heal him. And the centurion said, Lord, it isn't necessary. You just speak the word, and he will be healed. And then he went on to tell why he would be healed. I can't go into that now, but please notice, when the Savior said, I will come down and heal him, he took the Savior at his word. He took the Savior more than at his word. The nobleman said, come down and heal my son. The Savior said, I'm going to heal him without coming down. And the Savior said to the centurion, I will come down and heal thy son. The centurion said, this isn't necessary. All you have to do is speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, did he take Jesus at his word? You say, why, of course he did. That is how we are to react in life. Isn't this remarkable? The nation to which Christ came and that they received him not, yet here is a nobleman who believed what Jesus said, that a miraculous cure is going to take place in my son. I believe Jesus. Therefore, his walk through life will be of an entirely different nature than if he had his doubts. And at the same time, this military man has a promise coming from the Lord Jesus, and he says, your promise can be kept without coming down. Don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that you should come in my house. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. All right, now, I've spoken to you about two men. Let me tell you about a woman, about Elizabeth. When Zacharias was told that he was going to have a child, he said, how shall this be? Let me tell you about Elizabeth. When Zacharias came home and told Elizabeth, I know that she believed it, because when she had the conversation with Mary, this is what she says. She says concerning Mary, blessed is she that believed, because there shall be a fulfillment of the things spoken concerning her. You understand? That Elizabeth is confessing her faith in the things that her husband, Zacharias, did not believe. So, we have foreigners like Italian soldiers who believe, whereas Israelites will not believe. And yet we have noble men, and we say, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, but there are some noble men who have believed. And they believe, and their life is blessed. And we have wives of some husbands that believe when their husbands do not. And we have husbands like Abraham, who believed, whereas their wives do not. And so it is upon the individual's heart as to whether he can take God at his word. And those who do believe God, they go through life in faith. They go through life doing what Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So let us do. Let us follow the command that Christ gave to the woman. He said, woman, believe me, let us take God at his word. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that you are a God who can be taken at your word. And yet we confess that it's so hard to do, whereas it should be so easy to do. If you had ever lied, if you had ever failed, if the want of faith in men had caused your faithfulness not to be realized. But our Father, there has never been an example when you failed, when you lied, when you could not be taken at your word. So from all the things that we have studied from the scriptures this morning, let them encourage our hearts, and let us be those who believe you. Let us